Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance need the cover of October.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, you know, when things are going on, I got to bring in always the best, the top talent. And these guys you saw on my Twitter handle, and you saw them pictured me on the floor, and they said, you know, we're coming out in February with our 2016 stockbrokers.com review. And here he is to tell you all about it. Blaine Rankensmeyer from stockbrokers.com, the most comprehensive guide you'll ever find for choosing your stockbroker. Blaine, welcome aboard, brother.
Hi, Todd. How's it going?
Going great, man. I'm glad to have you on. I know how much work you put in this whole project, and I know that you guys are the number one source when you're into comparing online brokers, so I'm really happy to have you on. So tell us about what's going on, man.
Today we actually published the 2016 stockbroker review. It's a very, very deep dive into the online brokerage industry. So it takes about 6 months start to finish. We start in September. And this year, actually, we had a record 295 different variables that we assessed on, and those were spread across 10 different categories. So we dive into everything from, you know, assessing commissions and fees to what are the offerings from each brokerage to the platforms and tools, research and customer service, so on and so forth. There are 13 total brokers that participated this year, and it's completely optional. So to get the data that we need, the brokers have to participate. We meet with each broker, whether it be here at our office in Michigan, or actually last year we did a nationwide tour and we were traveling all over the place and visiting different hotspots, obviously New York and Chicago being two big ones. And so we do a meeting with them to find out what's the latest and greatest, what has the broker been up to this past year, and then they fill out a full data profile, and that's where we verify all of our data. So, you know, 295 variables, that might be something as how many technical indicators can I look at on a stock chart, or do you provide, you know, options education, or do you, you know, offer forex trading? So, you know, those variables stem across all those categories, and it spits out, we have this fantastic, assessment that spits out the star ratings and overall scores, and it determines, you know, an ultimate winner in the end.
That's really cool. And that, I mean, again, you guys have been doing this for 6 years, I understand. And of course, you keep putting more words to it. And we're now up to 30,000 words into your verbiage here. But I mean, I look at this site all the time. I mean, I think it's phenomenal. And I would recommend anybody looking for a broker to go check out stockbrokers.com, because I think it's just, you guys do phenomenal work. I mean, I've known you for a long time. You do a lot of great stuff. And I think that when you look at it, so take me through, Blaine. You got, you know, someone's looking to go in the business. What do they do? How do they find you at stockbrokers.com? And then what do they do once they get there?
Yeah. So when you get to stockbrokers.com, the way we look at it is we look at, okay, what are the most important variables or say factors that matter most to you, right? So Todd, so let's say that, oh, you care about phenomenal customer service. And, you know, that's really important to you, be able to call up your, you know, whatever, your TD Ameritrade or Fidelity or E-Trade, whatever it may be, and get a hold of someone, and you also want really discounted trades. So what we look at, those 10 categories, when you come to stockbrokers.com, you either can dive into a list and see, okay, I want to read a 1,000-word breakdown on commissions and fees and what are the different criteria I should be looking at and what should I be considering, or I can dive into customer service and so on and so forth. So we have those individual lists. Another tool would be the broker comparison chart, and that's the most popular tool on the site, and that allows you just to put head-to-head, like, hey, I'm really familiar with Charles Schwab, and I'm really familiar with option sales. Well, how do these two brokers compare head-to-head? And you can see a variety of data that we have on files, as well as star ratings to help you make a decision. And then there's some other tools, such as a screener. So just like you can scan for, you know, stock picks, you can scan for a broker and say, you know, I want commissions under $10 a trade, or say $5 a trade. I want, you know, they need to have at least a 4-star customer service review, going back to our example. You know, I want them to have offer advisor services, and you can drill down to find those brokers that best suit you. And then the next level deep below those three tools is going and saying, okay, so I'm, you know, let's say I'm between whatever, a TD Ameritrade and Fidelity. Well, I want to read an individual review. And now, you know, getting up to over 30,000 words of research on the site, you can go on and read a 2,000 word review. I think our average now is around 1,600 or 1,700 words. So you can read a full deep dive review on that individual broker, and ultimately choose the best broker for your needs. And that's the key distinction. It's not just some all-encompassing. Each, you know, individual investor or trader has different needs that suits them, and that's our job, is to help them find that best broker for them.
Now, I know you got into this business with your brother, and I know you guys have been doing it for 6 years. What in the world possessed you to get involved in this type of business?
Yeah, that's a great question. So yeah, I'm actually coming up on my 10-year anniversary, actually, with the web, for my first ever blog post, Todd, which is pretty cool. So, you know, I've seen the web kind of evolve over the last 10 years. And the one space I've always been super passionate about, trading and investing. I trade when I have free time as a complete, you know, as a hobby. I love the markets. So you just eat, sleep, and breathe them. And so when StockBrokers.com, it actually originated out of another site we own, and my personal blogging. And what I found is, just on the web, there's, you can Google anything and find coverage for whatever. I want to see the best, well, what are the best running shoes, right? I'm going to go run a race this year, whatever it may be. But when it comes to the financial industry, I always felt like what I saw, I just was not satisfied with. There's a lot of credible, you know, print reviews, and you know, there's a variety of them out there, but I just felt like they didn't go deep enough down the rabbit hole, and they weren't coming from a trader's mentality. And then looking at just the general web and websites, I felt like no one was really giving the kind of coverage that was really needed. It was all this broad, you know, information like, hey, well, this broker offers trades for, you know, this price. It's better than broker X because it's a dollar cheaper per trade. You should choose this broker. So it was just this natural evolution, actually, to say. I first started by blogging about it, and then the page was getting a lot of visits, and then it started getting a lot of questions. And it's just like, wow, there's an opportunity here to go deeper, to do our own review based on how, you know, how we would look at it from a trader's mentality. And it just evolved from there, and here we are now in our publishing our sixth annual review. As I said earlier, the whole industry participates. The industry participates not only with their time, but contributing. So these 295 variables, every single one has a formal definition. So we actually set, you know, benchmarks for the industry. If you talk to industry executives, they'll tell you, you know, it's the most thorough, and in most cases, the toughest review. So it's kind of like now we're at this point, we've evolved to where we've helped over 2 million unique visitors that come through StockBrokers.com since our inception, find the best broker for their needs, and we're helping to push the industry forward. So the brokers use our feedback and our data, which they can access throughout the year, to drive their own product roadmaps. And they'll say, hey guys, we really appreciate your feedback on this, or hey, you know, we appreciate you calling this out, we're going to update that, and hey, what do you think about this? So it's kind of cool. It's a two-way street. You know, we get to help the industry, and we get to help the individual investors and traders.
Well, I tell you what, I've met the guys, I've shook hands with them, I've had a picture with them, and they are the best. I truly appreciate what they do. Blaine, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks, Todd.
That was Blaine Rankensmeyer from StockBrokers.com, the number one source for comparing online brokers. StockBrokers.com annual broker view, now in its sixth year, offers 30,000 words of research and is widely regarded as the most thorough in the industry. Visit StockBrokers.com today and use their in-depth reviews and comparison tools to see how your broker stacks up. I recommend it highly. These guys are the best. I want you to also check out BubbaTrading.com. We do a lot of work with them, and we're going to step out of here for a break, and we're going to come back after the break, but make sure you check out StockBrokers.com. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Well, Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd, Bubba Horowitz with you. And boy, I tell you, that stuff was interesting from Blaine, the stock market, stockbrokers.com. I would tell you to check it out. I think it's a really neat tool for the average guy. And I think it's something that you can check out and give you some good information. So I would go check out stockbrokers.com. I think it's a great thing for you to take a look at. But anyways, you know, it's funny, on Monday, you know, of course, the markets were closed, but they really weren't closed. You know, the markets really don't close anymore because they have futures that trade overnight because we are now truly global markets. They really don't close anymore, and the futures were flying. Now, I think part of the reason they were flying is because you had people that couldn't get out on Friday that were short. And because we had such a short covering rally on Friday, actually, if you go back Thursday, Friday through Sunday, Monday, I think that you saw a short covering rally. And, you know, again, remember we talked about the other day, the viciousness of a rally will tell you what type of format the market is in. But I think what happened is people were banking on that China and Hong Kong might be lower to give them a chance to get out. And of course, China had come back after the Lunar New Year, and we're down marginally. But interestingly enough, Hong Kong, Japan had bad news, and the market went up 8%. But remember, again, not totally unexpected. I mean, again, I can't predict 8%, okay, but I can predict that there's going to be moves and rallies. And that is something that you want to take to hold, is understanding the dynamics of how a market works. Okay? Understanding the dynamics of the whole model. So when we get to a position, now you'll hear, you know, experts oversold, overbought. And that's true. I mean, that part is right. But it's recognizing how to enter in those things. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you want to make sure that you are finding out that the overall system always works, okay? It doesn't work on every trade, but when you look at it from a logic standpoint and you look at a market logically, we can always see when possibly we're getting to a spot where there's the buyers have been too aggressive or when the sellers have been too aggressive. And that goes back to the phases of the market, how the markets work themselves. And that's obviously always one of the problems that I have, is when we have intervention and, of course, our geniuses don't allow the markets to work by themselves. And that becomes a whole bigger problem. But, you know, you want to understand that things happen. And when you look at the difference between the commodity space and the equity space, the reason that I will be so much more aggressive in the commodity space, well, what do we know? We know there's no company that's going to go out of business, okay? You know, in grains or in oil, unless we're going to stop using it. I mean, I don't know. I suppose it could happen. I suppose we could stop eating. Maybe it'll be a special pill someday. But for today, I assume we're still going to eat. I assume there's going to be another demand in the grain markets. I assume there's going to be another demand in the oil markets. But what I don't have to worry about is I don't have to worry about a company's financials and what worry about them going out of business. And I was looking at something very interesting the other day, and that was Lion & Company, which was a big REIT. Everybody was buying, and somebody sent me an email, and I don't watch it that often, and somebody sent me an email and said, hey, do you think I should get out? And I go, you know, I said, no, I don't, you know, I don't think you should, you know, I can't tell you to dump anything, and certainly I'm not dumping here. And I hadn't looked at it, and I pulled it up. I go, 16 cents, what are you getting out for? But more importantly than 16 cents is that's the problem. See, if we buy Line because we like oil, Line is going to go out of business most likely. Okay, and that is the problem. So that's why, don't get me wrong, I do buy equities like that. But I won't step into them as I will the commodity market, because I know the commodities aren't going out of business. We may have a lesser demand, prices may go lower, but they're not going to zero. And Sun Edison and Line look like they could go to zero. Line especially, it's only 16 cents. Walters and all the coal companies, look what happened to them. They're all zero. And that is something that you have to recognize in a market, okay, is, you know, that it happens all the time. And we are not smart enough, I'm including myself in there, to pick which ones are going to be better and not going to go out of business. I can tell you by a footprint and a chart for a short period of time with a high degree of certainty. But long term, I cannot tell you whether or not a company will go out of business or not. Now, I've owned a few that, you know, obviously have gone out of business. I'm familiar with it. I think Chesapeake Energy is going to go out of business probably, and I do own that one. But my point being is that when you buy companies, they have payroll to meet, they've got earnings to meet, they've got all kinds of things. They are users of the commodity. So I'd much rather own the end product and not have to worry about anything else so that I can get myself in that position and not have to worry about the company, you know, if something's going on, are their financials good, they've got a problem. That becomes the bigger story. So when you're looking around, you know, don't fall for the trick of the brass ring or the thing that looks so appealing, because typically if it looks too good, it probably is too good. Now, again, I'm a big advocate of buying stocks as well. I'm not telling you not to buy, but when you're looking to maybe step into something a little bit, and you, if you like the space I'm talking about, that's the way I would try to do it. Okay. I just think that you're far better off over time if you give yourself something that isn't worried about the dynamics of a company and making money all the time or making payroll and all these other things, whereas you can create a similar position based on the overall product that it supplies. But again, I'm also a big fan of the equity markets, but there's where you got to make sure that you're looking for good companies that make money, that don't look like they're going out of business anytime soon. Walmart, when it fell last year, was probably a pretty good buy. And I did say that, you know, on air, that I felt Walmart was probably a buy there because, again, as solid as can be, McDonald's, you know, they don't look like they're going out of business anytime soon. Those are way too solid companies. You know, it's kind of like watching options volatility. Those don't have high volatility points because it would take a lot of bad news to put those guys out of business. You know, if anybody remembers the Johnson & Johnson scare, I think it was from the 70s with the Tylenol, the poison Tylenol. Yeah, it hurt the company, but it didn't hurt them that bad, and they didn't put them out of business because they're solid enough they can overcome that. You know, drug companies, the big drug company like Pfizer, they can overcome a bad drug study because they make so much money and they can overcome. Coca-Cola, they overcame a terrible product. Okay, but that's the difference between investing and trading. Now, I would never want to trade those companies because I don't think there's any money to be made trading them on a shorter term. I think there's might be made those in a long term based on growth and dividend. But that's where you have to separate whether you're looking to make a quick trade and make a quick buck, or you're looking to have ownership for a long period of time. And that is more of an issue for everybody, is to make sure that you have an understanding of how the market functions and what are the pitfalls if something goes wrong. And that's why I always talk about, you know, my hedging program, because this program is being rolled out through many of the big advisors right now because they figured out that they don't have to worry about selling stock and worry about tops and bottoms because they're always hedged around it. So they can afford to let markets go down and actually accumulate more stock. And that's kind of what our program is about. And if you want to check it out for yourself, go to BubbaTrading.com and check it out. And as well, check out my articles I write every day. I had a couple of good ones. I wrote about Scalia yesterday, and I wrote about Fed financial failure on Friday. So go check those out at BubbaTrading.com. If you ever miss an episode, go to LibertyTalk.fm. Every episode is there ready for you on demand. And other than that, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I am going to step out here for a break, and I will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
He's so Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. To the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's time for our guy Matt Demeter from Demeter Research, who has been again en fuego, staying hot, giving us a tremendous read on the markets each and every week. And Matt, I think before we actually get into your analysis, I think that I want to ask your opinion: will the death of Justice Scalia in the political hotbed this is going to create, will that have any effect on the overall markets, in your opinion?
I honestly don't know. I just have to look at the charts and see what they're telling me. But it depends on who replaces the position.
Well, yeah, right. I mean, I understand that. I just, you know, again, sometimes there are certain events, and you know, it may show up in the charts, it may not show up in the charts, and you know, we know yesterday was President's Day, so so now, as we go looking forward, and of course we had another dramatic dead cat bounce or short covering rally starting last Thursday at exactly 2:30 Eastern time, and not finishing until the close on Friday. What's your takeaway now?
Well, I think that we should continue to bounce. It's certainly possible we could sell off. We haven't hit any very strong support, so that we have in certain things. We have in the DAX. I don't really see it in the U.S. The Nikkei broke a little bit lower than it should have last week, so that's problematic. That opens up lower levels. But in the near term, it looks to me like all the indicators are just so oversold that we need to see more of this bounce, so that you know, there's a little more room for them to fall again, so that there's more room for those indicators to move lower.
Well, I can't see the S&P going much past 1880. How does that figure with your data?
You know, this week I'm a little bit fuzzy on what I'm seeing because it's a lot of cross currents. What I'm seeing, the primary reason I think that we should see you know, a continued bounce is volatility indicators. They've all completed what I like to see, symmetrical patterns to the upside. So at least for a short period of time, the volatility needs to fall back before it can move back up again. So with lower volatility, I would expect, you know, a continued bounce in stocks.
All right, but again, I mean, if I look at a chart of the VIX or volatility, I mean, that's actually a fairly bullish chart indicating that there's still some volatility to come. So what makes you believe that volatility is going to start to wane here?
I think there's more volatility to come too. And I don't think that the indices have bottomed. I just think that they are going to take a breather first.
Okay. So wouldn't you say that, I mean, I watch markets as well, and I'm not the technical guy you are as far as breaking everything down, but to me, the market can resolve these types of conditions in a couple of ways, and one of the ways would be a continued rally, which is certainly possible. I don't outweigh that. I don't think so myself, but certainly I said 1880 in my mind is as far as we're going to go, but they can also resolve themselves by getting into a consolidation or congestion pattern and then resume the overall downtrend, which is basically what we did from the initial break. We got into that consolidation pattern, and 2 weeks ago we had that blow off on a Friday afternoon, and subsequently went down and made new lows. And I could make that same case for that same pattern repeating again here. What do you think?
I'm okay with that. I should have mentioned that either sideways to up is what I'm looking for. Just enough time for indicators to, relieve their oversold conditions, for volatility to pull off a little bit, and then we can start all over again with more downside. So either way, if it were to happen rapidly, then the highest I could see the S&P going would be back up to the 1945, 1950, in that ballpark. And then if it were to go up there, up to that level and pull back, which is what I would expect, it would, for me, be pointing to a target in the low 1600s for a final bottom.
Okay. Oh, that's the final bottom. Okay. Well, we can debate that issue as well. But okay. So, if we look, and I want you to explain this, because this is important, because I talk about this all the time. But you are a technician by trade, and you're a CMT, chartered market technician. How does the sideways movement or consolidation pattern, how does that resolve those indicators that become overbought or oversold, depending on which way we're going? But in this case, they would be oversold. Why does sideways action resolve that problem?
Well, they just tend, as we're following the indicators, they're indicators just telling you how much buying power is left, how much selling power is left. If we track sideways, additional selling power can build up. If we're, if we're not bouncing, it's not like everybody's out of stocks yet, so if they don't see progress to the upside, more people will be willing to unload, and therefore the selling pressure can start to build up, which will be the way you would see that is, with RSI and stochastic starting to rise, getting back towards neutral levels. So for example, from around the 10s, 20s, they move up to the 40s and 50s. It's a range of 0 to 100. So, 40, 50 is about neutral. 20 is pretty oversold.
All right. Now, you were right on top of the U.S. dollar and stated that you could see that the big, large banks were well short. And, of course, the dollar has had a fairly dramatic sell-off here. Does it continue? What's your take there?
No, I think there's another potential 2% downside for the dollar. So that would be, I think, down to about 90, 95. Or maybe it's 90. I don't have it in front of me, but I think it's in that ballpark. I think now we're going to run up in the dollar relatively soon. I don't think it has to be this week, but it's actually not. I'm looking for the level. It's 93.50 would be where I'd find major support in the dollar. But I don't think it's going to go any lower than that. I think we're going to get a bounce back up towards the highs, the high 90s, maybe into the low 100s. And then that will be my final target for where the dollar should peak. And one of the reasons I think that, too, is looking at what the commercials are doing, they did take off quite a bit of their position in the dollar this past week. They're less long than they were in the euro in particular, which makes up 60% of the dollar index. They increased their short position dramatically. It's one of the, if not the largest, it's one of the largest position changes I've seen in a single week in a currency. They increased the short side of their position 75%, 50,000 contracts they added, so in 1 week. So they're seeing some major turn in the euro. They expect them to turn down, as do I, based on my charts. If the euro turns down, that's inherently, you know, bullish for the dollar.
Right, because it makes up such a big portion of the dollar index. Now, in your eyes, as you look, and we see that, is there, other than the straight technicals, which I know that's what you do, but is there an event that you think will trigger that change? Is there something that may surprise us over during the week that will trigger a change in the dollar and let that rally and have the euro go down, other than just purely the technicals? Like, again, usually there's some sort of event that some people blame that did it, but we both know that that's not true. But I'm just wondering if you're seeing something out there that's kind of pointing to why we moved this far. It's like usually we talk about a lot of what market expectations are. So the market expected certain things, and now that they've achieved, now is there something we're expecting the other way that would force these to go the other way?
There is a speech by Mario Draghi on Monday or Tuesday, or this past Monday or Tuesday. So I haven't seen that, but there's other events too that may be coming up with central bankers speaking. So that may be why one thing I'm asking is why have they changed their position so fast? The banks, why do they have to make dramatic moves in 1 week? They may be seeing something. So I've looked for possible events, and I haven't, to be honest, I haven't seen one that sticks out. I haven't seen a monetary policy meeting for the ECB this week. So, you know,
maybe the Fed is going to send out one of their cronies out this week and make an announcement, because we know that the owners of the privatized FOM, or Federal Reserve, part of it's the government, part of it's JP Morgan, part of it's Goldman Sachs. So maybe they're setting up for an announcement that they know that's coming and we don't. In today's world, you never know what's going to be next. I think it's always interesting and fun to watch as we see. Of course, for us, we really don't care, because we still, no matter what's going to happen, we are followers of the footprint that the markets leave, because that really is the best indicator. We are with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. I urge you to check out his work. He is one of the best technicians. You've heard him here week after week on the Bubba Show, telling you certain levels to watch for in markets, and has been extremely on fire indicating things that may or may not happen. And I commend him for his great work. Also, make sure that you take the time to go check out BubbaTrading.com. We have, of course, our hedge program, which has been phenomenal. Make yourself one of the happy ones that is writing me emails after the markets collapse saying how grateful you are. You miss a show, LibertyTalk.fm, on demand every day. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We are with Matt Demeter from Demeter Research. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
I was proud.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter from Demeter Research. All right, Matt, so give us your views. I know you've got opinions pretty much across the board. So take us through what you're seeing, how you expect it to play out, based purely on the work that you've done.
Well, one of the big events, I think, this past week was the low we achieved in the 10-year Treasury rate. It got down to the very low is 1.567, and that is either the very low that I expect, or we may go as low as 15 basis points more. So that'd be about a double bottom with June 2012, when we got down to about 1.4, 1.45. That's it. I don't see it going any lower than that. I know there are a lot of other projections by other technicians saying, you know, maybe all the way down to 1%.
Well, I did call a year ago. I called for 1.5%. So
okay, then we're on the same page.
And,
I don't think
it could go lower. I can only see that far, and that's one of the things that always bothers me about market calls. You are calling a market based on purely the mathematics. It has no emotional draw to it. It's purely, this is what I see. This is where we could go. Now, could it go lower? Of course it could. We're not always right. But I think that's one of the problems that we see. And that's one thing that always bothers me. That's why I like your analysis. It's straight up from the chart, from your indicators, and that's where we go. Okay, so we got a potential double bottom coming in the 10-year at 1.5. Okay, what's next?
Well, what's next there, I just think it is worth stressing. I think that we're talking about a 35-year bull market in treasuries coming to an end. I think it came to an end probably last Thursday, February 11th. So I think now we're looking for much higher interest rates. Not that the Fed would be, increasing interest rates, just that the market may force them. So long story short, I think we've just switched from a secular bull market in treasuries to a secular bear market.
All right, so wait, that's an interesting thing that you just said. I want to just visit that a little bit harder here. Okay, so you now are calling for a potential bear market now in treasuries, but you said something more interesting, that the markets could force the hand of the Fed. I happen to know that that is true, and I believe that eventually the free markets will win out, and that's when the disaster will actually happen in the markets. Okay, but how does that work out, and how can the bond market force the Fed's hand?
Well, the Fed, my guess is at some point in the next year or two, the Fed's going to start QE again. I don't know if the rest of the world is ready to accept, a debasement of the dollar. Basically, it lines up with my thought process is the dollar is going to go to one new high, and then something's going to happen. I'm not sure what, and then it'll sell off pretty dramatically. If the dollar, if we have some sort of currency crisis, if we have major inflation because the dollar's falling, that can force long-term rates up just like it did in the 70s. And basically, that's the environment I see us going back to, is a 70s inflationary high interest rate environment.
So, and of course, I don't know if this is it, but of course, the treasuries have been in a bull market since the day I started. The 30-year bond when I first started was, I think, 5,600. So it has been a run. And, of course, I do believe in free markets and price discovery. Eventually, the bond market, the fixed income market being such a big market, will eventually take charge and run over the Fed itself. But for now, again, I could live with the double bottom, and I could live with the fact that this might be the very turn. I think there's obvious things that could affect it, but I'm not in disagreement there. So, and I know that you see a big move coming in the euro currency as well soon. I know you mentioned earlier that somebody sold like 50,000 or something, some ridiculous mm-hmm. number.
Right. Yeah. The commercial banks, they sold 50,000 contracts. They had about 65,000 contracts short against a long position of 100,000. So they've added 50,000 contracts to a 65,000 contract short position. So around 75% increase. Which is huge in 1 week. So they definitely see the euro pulling off here from about last week we topped about 1.14 in the euro. We should fall back to prior lows down towards 105. And that would get us to what I think would be a very major bottom in the euro and a major high in the dollar index, at which point I would expect the euro to finally bottom to, it's probably already bottomed in terms of price, but I want the pattern to complete, which may happen at a slightly higher level. The euro would run much higher from there, I believe, and the dollar would come off pretty hard from a top, probably in the low hundreds, say 103, 104.
Okay, so we are looking for some currency action, and what do you see? I know you mentioned earlier there's some troublesome in the Nike, or Nike, whatever you want to call it. And what are you seeing there?
Well, it was looking on track for a good short-term level that we were talking about, we were projecting on Thursday night. late Thursday night of last week, it broke what was a symmetrical, but like what would have been a symmetrical bottom. So it has, it bounced on Friday, and it may continue to bounce, but it opened the door to lower levels, which I would project about another 10% lower than the lows. And that fits with my many other indices I'm looking at. I think the S&P, if we get down to the low 1600s, you're talking about another, 10% to the downside from the lows that we've had so far. A lot of my global indices are saying, in that ballpark from, 10 to 20% down, U.S. being one of the strongest, so.
All right, and then, of course, gold and silver. It looks like gold is had a pretty big run and is broke out to the upside. What do you look for from gold? And, of course, is silver going to finally come off the death roll?
Yeah, right. I mean, silver and gold. Silver hasn't, it's kind of seemed like it hasn't been as big of a run, but it's been about 12% since the beginning of the year. Gold's up about 14%, so they're not that far off. But gold, for whatever reason, just seems like its moves are much more volatile and spiky. But I think that those moves are just about over. The reason being what we've talked about in the dollar. I think the dollar is going to resume its move up. I think in terms of commercials and what they're doing, the big banks, they are shorting the heck out of these rallies. So they are now at about 65% of their normal maximum short in gold, and they're at about 90% of their normal maximum in silver. So they are heavily short. They can get more short, so we can go a little bit higher. They'll short higher levels. But at some point, I believe very strongly those markets are manipulated and that the banks move them as they like. They've been doing it for a very long time, and I expect that they'll do it again. They don't typically get run over. They almost were in 2011, but they got that under control. So, I think we're going to, unfortunately, I think, we're going to see moves back down.
Well, I mean, again, we don't really care. Our objective, the Demeter Research mantra and Bubba's show mantra is we don't care where it goes. We just want to make money and benefit from how we do that. So at the end of the day, we're trying to make money, and we'll be happy to make money either way the markets move. You have been listening to my friend, my guy, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. I urge you to check out his stuff. He's got a deal for the Bubba Show listeners, but also he's just, again, he's got the information. He is a purely a technical guy. He doesn't have follow any other information. Nothing else comes into his play. This has been the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, if you ever miss an episode, LibertyTalk.fm will get you any episode of the Bubba Show anytime you want. Join the hundreds of thousands of people that are already downloading it. You'll be one of them as well. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be back tomorrow, same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Wake up, Maggie.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.